Well, how are we doing, Fairhaven? Okay, I don't know. Maybe you're on the heat too long yesterday. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Great to see you. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors on staff. If you're a guest with us, we are really, really grateful that you're here. I want to welcome Springboro, our campus to the south. We're so excited about the construction that's taking place down there, and we're hoping for the fall, and it's exciting for you as we enter into a new home for you. Northmont, I want to welcome you. You have a home. We're glad you're with us as well. Classics, it's so good to have you every week. You're just right across the campus, but we are one church in a variety of locations. And I want to say hello to all of you that are here, right here in Centerville. First, by way of Centerville, would you help me thank all of you that are here at Centerville, those that are sitting in the temporary seats? Would you just give them a round of applause for being willing to do that? Way up top there, in the back. For the rest of you that have the nicer seats, don't worry. We're going to give you an opportunity as well somewhere down the line here pretty soon. Hang with us as we are in construction. And you'll notice in the back it's a little bit lighter, right? Folks in the back, it's a little lighter. And so we're glad we got that fixed this last week. So there's just so much happening here. We've been in this series, and we are, in fact, concluding this series today. And if you've missed any one of these messages, you can go online or, better yet, download the app, because it's through the app that we're going to be pushing all kinds of content and other things, not only for you adults, but for you kids as well. And so you can download the app and follow along. We've been talking about some very personal issues. In fact, we've been saying it this way, that you might be crushing it on the outside, meaning you look great, right? You look great. Nobody would know. In fact, if you were to pass somebody in the hallway, they would probably look at you and go, nothing's wrong with them, you know? You look great, and yet on the inside, you might be collapsing. There may be some emotional things that you're dealing with. We've mentioned five over the last 5 weeks, and the reality is this is not all that there is. I mean, these are just five big ones. We've talked about loneliness. Lots of us experience loneliness. We talked about doubts, questions that come up. We talked about shame. That was the big one, right? I mean, that's kind of the mountain peak of this whole series. We talked about unworthiness, that many of us feel unworthy in a variety of different ways. And then we talked last week about rejection. That's a pretty big deal as well. And so today, what I want to do is wrap it all up and end this series talking about God and how God rallies around us in all of these emotional troubles that we have. Truth is, like I said, there are many more issues that we could deal with. And you probably could come to me and say, well, what about this and what about that? And it's true, but they're all part of what we're going to do as we conclude today. Here's what we've been saying. If, in fact, you are a guest, we've been saying this. It's okay to say, I'm not okay. The problem is that we don't want to stay that way. Right, church? We've been saying that. We don't want to stay that way. And so today, we're going to give you the opportunity to make a couple of decisions in your life and declarations in your life. I've said this several times during the series. I am not so naive as to believe that in 30 minutes, I can somehow try to convince you as we even look into God's Word, as we study it and open it up and see what God has to say, that in 30 minutes, somehow all your problems are going to go away. What I can tell you is that if you begin to take one step further in your relationship with Jesus Christ, a lot can change. Am I right, church? A lot can change. And so that's why we do this every week, and we'd love for you to join us. Today, what I want to talk about in all of these emotional things that we deal with, that we serve a God that rallies around us. We serve a God who cheerleads us. We serve a God who loves us more than you love yourself, more than the people around you love you. We serve a God who knows your future, and he wants to rally you to get to that place where you're walking in the steps that he wants you to. We serve a God who knows the decision that you need to make, and yet you're wrestling with it. We serve a God who's made so many promises, and he will fulfill those promises. We serve a God who is so alive and personal that he knows you by name, and he wants to walk with you today. He is a rallying God. So what I want to do today is deviate from what I normally talk about when it comes to sports, and I want to talk about baseball. Anybody love baseball? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high, around. Most of the time, I'm talking about, what is it, church? Soccer, the greatest sport. But we're going to talk today about baseball, because I know many of you love baseball, and these are the hometown boys right there. If you're online and you're around the world, you don't know, this is our hometown boys, the Dayton Dragons, and then we have the Cincinnati Reds around us. And so baseball is a very interesting game because I don't know when it started. There's a lot of debate on when it started, but they have this thing in baseball, where, and you guys know, where it's called the rally cap, right? Where if your team is behind, you put on your rally cap. And what that means is you put on your cap, but you don't just put it on, you put it on sideways, or you put it on backwards. And if your team is really behind, like really behind, then you gotta turn it inside out, right? And you gotta wear it inside out, which I'm a little confused about because when you do that, like you can't even tell what team you're really from, right? I mean, so, but that's what they do. It's the rally cap. And what I wanna talk about today is the fact that God is a rallying God. He rallies all around us. And if you're dealing and suffering and struggling with any one of these emotional things that we've been talking about or anything else, we serve a God who rallies around you. You see, you rally and put your rally cap on when your team isn't doing so well, and you might be getting late in the innings, and there's runners on base, and there's nothing like rallying from behind, right? Baseball players, baseball fans, nothing like rallying from behind. And the truth is, it's probably a pretty good illustration of life, baseball is, because so many of us find ourselves, because of mistakes and decisions and different things, we find ourselves behind where we want to be, we find ourselves behind where we ought to be in our walk with God, and yet today, as we conclude this series, we can remind ourselves that we have a God who rallies, and we can come from behind because of that God who rallies, and we can walk through and have some experience some amazing changes that take place in our lives. I did a little research on baseball, and so I want your help here. I want you to turn to the person next to you, all right? And if you didn't come with somebody, just sort of think it in your mind. How long do you think the average baseball game is? In 2018, all right, turn to the person next to you in all of our campuses. How long do you think the average baseball game is? Let me see how close you get. All right, how many of you said 3 hours? Let me just see your hands. Okay, here in Centerville, that's most of you up in the balcony. Okay, most of you. The average game, I did the research, okay, so the average game in 2018 is 3 hours and 11 minutes. Let me ask you another question. In 1946, how long was the average baseball game? Turn to your neighbor and see if you can get that one. See how long that was. See if there's any change. 1946. That was quite a long time ago. All right, how many of you said 2 hours and 30 minutes? Let me just see your hands, okay? How many of you said 2 hours? Let me see your hands. How many of you just absolutely don't know? Let me just see your hands, okay? It is actually 2 hours and 11 minutes. So in, I don't know how many years, I mean, baseball games have gone longer. In fact, I did some more research just to encourage you baseball fans. How much of the 3 hours and 11 minutes is there actual action in a baseball game? Like, let me give you some things to think about. Like when there's balls in play, or when runners are advancing, or when a pitcher's actually throwing the ball, or when there's a foul ball, or when there's a pickoff. I had to actually research that. I didn't even know what a pickoff was. So I did the research on that. So if you add all those together, out of 3 hours and 11 minutes, turn to the person next to you and see if you can figure this out. How much of a baseball game has actual minutes of action? See if you can figure that one out. How many of you said 1 hour of the three? Let me just see your hands. Okay, not too many of you. How many of you said 15 minutes? Let me just see your hands. It's actually 17 minutes and 58 seconds. And you're complaining about soccer? 17 minutes and 58 seconds of actual action in a 3 hour and 11 minute baseball game. Okay, I get it, it's more than that. It's like the dipping dots, it's like the, you know, the popcorn. And 12 years ago, my wife and I, we had our 20th year anniversary. And so you're doing the math now, aren't you? So we went to Cincinnati, I think it was 12 years ago. We went to Cincinnati for the weekend and we had somebody stay with our guys, our sons. And so it was fun. We went down to Cincinnati. We spent, I think it was 2 days there. And we just walked around downtown Cincinnati. And I'm sure many of you have been there. If you're around the world, you probably don't know. You can Google it. Cincinnati is a great city. There's lots to do downtown. And so we were in the hotel one morning. We got up. We decided, let's just go out for a walk and see what's available here. And so we started walking. And there's a bridge that goes across the river. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you go to Newport, which is actually Kentucky, and you can walk around. There's stores and there's an aquarium and all that. But we were walking, I think it was we were walking back to the hotel, because I think it was towards the evening. And as we were walking back, we heard this huge, you know, crowd, because we actually walked by the baseball stadium. I think it's called the Great American Baseball Stadium. I think that's what it's called. I had a friend from this church, actually, that took me there a couple of years ago. But we were walking back and we heard all this noise coming from the stadium. And this guy walks up to me, and he has two tickets in his hand, and he says, hey, you want to go to a baseball game? And I said, no. And he said, these are good seats, I'm telling you. And I go, where are they? And he goes, they're in the second row. And I was looking at the ticket, and I can't remember, but they were expensive in the second row. And there were two of them, and I think it was like $150, $200, I don't know. I mean, it was a lot of money. That's all I remember. But I do remember what I paid for him. And so he was holding the tickets, and I said, well, has the game started? He goes, yeah, they're in the first inning, kind of going into the second inning. And I said, so what are you going to sell them to me for? He says, well, you know, make me an offer. So I said, 10 bucks. And he goes, these tickets are worth a lot of money. And I go, well, the game has started. Like, I mean, who's walking by but me, you know? So I bought the tickets for 10 bucks. We got into the stadium for 10 bucks. So we sat in the second row, no kidding, second row. I'm sitting there, and there was a guy to my left, and I'm sitting there watching the game and waiting. Do you know how much time there is in a three-hour baseball game between pitches if you add it all up? Guess what that is? I researched it. It is one hour and 14 minutes that you wait for the guy to throw the ball. Just throw the ball. Just throw the ball, right? So I'm sitting there, and we're in the game, and the guy's sitting next to me, and all of a sudden, the batter hits, and something happens, and across the screen, it says E-6. First Major League Baseball game that my wife and I have been to together. And I had no idea what that is. You know, I played soccer, grew up overseas, if you're a guest, you know. And so I leaned over to the guy, and I said, hey, what is an E-6? And he looked at me and said, and you're in the second row? I said, I know. I said, I got these tickets, and I got them for 10 bucks. He said, 10 bucks? And I said, yeah, you should have been where I was, you know. And so, I mean, we serve a God who is a rallying. Here's what I want you to do today, okay? Because you know somebody, or it might be you, who's dealing with some emotional, deep issue in their life, and I want you to put your rally cap on. You know why? Because we have a God that rallies around us. And in fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us that because we have a rallying God, that you and I are used by God to do the same for others. Would you take your Bibles with me if you have them, or a device, and would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians is in the New Testament. It's a small book. But it's a powerful book nonetheless. Next week, as you heard, I'm starting a brand new series on Galatians. It's called The Thin Line. And oftentimes in the Christian life, we think of our Christian life as walking on a tightrope, that if somehow we mess up or we fall off, God is going to get us. Actually, Galatians is the declaration of salvation, meaning that if you want to know about what the Christian faith is, Galatians is the book that you're going to want to read. Galatians talks about what it looks like and what the understanding is, so that you don't live your life on the extremes. And we'll talk about what those extremes are. And he gives us examples, so don't miss it. We start that next week. But in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is speaking here, and he writes to this church, and he's describing to them about what God wants us to do in the life of other people, that we need to put our rally cap on. And so I'm going to ask you to metaphorically to think through your life and the people around you, and would you be willing to put your rally cap on? Because you probably know somebody who's behind in life. You might be that person who's behind in life, so you might need to put a rally cap on and ask God to step in, and we'll talk about that as we go through this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, so obviously Paul is in prison, he's writing this, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Do you know that if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been given by God a calling? Of course, the question is, what does that calling look like? Well, there's many pieces to it, but in verse 2, he explains part of what that calling is. Number 2, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all and through all, and catch this, and in all. Wow. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, and then Paul quotes Psalm chapter 68, or a piece of it, verse 18. And he says this, when he, that's Jesus, ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. Verse 9, what does he, quote, ascend, unquote, mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fulfill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and teacher, and pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be lifted up. Until we've all reached unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, that's the key word there, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him. That's a phrase you might want to underline. Who is the head? That is Christ. So we're to become like Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part, ready for this, does its part. If you like to write in your Bibles, really, Paul is saying three things. The first three verses, he's saying this, that you and I, because God is a rallying God, you and I, we need to rally around people. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service. Now, if you're a guest, this isn't weird or strange. I'm going to give you the opportunity in every single one of our campuses, and you can even do it at home if you want. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make a declaration and to stand right where you are, to stand and say, I'm going to rally. I'm going to put the rally cap on. I'm going to rally for someone that God places on your mind. Because you see, part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, Paul says, is that we rally around people. There may be people who are feeling lonely and rejected and unworthy. There may be people who are struggling with all kinds of other things. And it's your job and my job, according to Paul here, because we've been called by God, that we ought to rally around. We ought to put our rally cap on for someone else. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand, not so that anybody else sees in any one of our campuses, but so that you can make a declaration to God and say, you can count on me because I'm going to rally around that person. Second thing Paul says, starting in verse 4, is that we've been made fully alive in Jesus. that you have, if you are a follower of Jesus, you've been made fully alive in him. And by fully alive, it means, and we'll talk through this, it means that you don't have to suffer with some of these deep, deep things like loneliness and shame and rejection. And, you know, we don't have to. You've been made alive, and God wants something to do with that, and we'll talk about that. Thirdly, starting in verse 14, he says, you got to become mature. You got to become mature in your faith. You got to figure out what it means for you to become an adult in your faith, to walk taller and to walk stronger, because we have a God that rallies. So let me talk about Jesus and how he is a rallying God for just a few minutes, and then I'll end and I'll give you an opportunity to make some decisions based around those things that we read in Ephesians chapter 4. First thing that I want to say is that Jesus always rallies around people. When you read the New Testament, you'll see that Jesus rallies around people all the time. Let me give you some examples and see if I'm right. Jesus touched lepers. Have you ever read that in the Bible? I mean, nobody did that. I mean, lepers were an outcast. Like you actually had to scream loudly, leprosy, leprosy. If you had it, you had to scream because for fear that somebody would actually brush up against you, right? And yet Jesus touched lepers. Jesus talked and engaged Samaritans. Samaritans were definitely the people on the other side of town. And so Jesus teaches us that we need to come together, that we need to be a people of diversity, that we need to love everybody, and we want to love people on all ends of, you know, of the stick. And so Jesus, he engages Samaritans, who were some of the most hated people. The Jews hated them because they were called half-breeds. And yet he talked to them and engaged them. Jesus befriended prostitutes. That's risky, right? That's risky, and yet he befriended prostitutes. He defended tax collectors. You know, in the social structure in the first century, shepherds were pretty much lowest on the totem pole, which I think is beautiful that God came to the shepherds at Christmas, right? And he did that because he wants every one of us to know that there's not a hierarchy in the kingdom of God. And so he comes to the shepherds. And just above the shepherds, not too far in terms of being the most hated people in culture, are tax collectors, because they ripped people off, because they were loyal to Rome. And yet Jesus defended tax collectors. He ate in people's homes where it was known that they broke the law, you know, the law of the Torah. He ate with them, and was actually criticized for eating with people like that. He rallied around people who had made huge mistakes in their life. And in fact, Jesus himself is the example of the rally hat. I mean, after all, he came from behind. He was on a cross. He died. They'd put him in a tomb. And guess what happens? God put the rally hat on, and he walked away from the tomb. Am I right? And so God knows, Jesus knows how to rally from behind. He did exactly that and can give you and I life in our lives, no matter what we're facing today. That's why I love Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 says this about Jesus, forecasting or prophesying about Jesus, the Son of God, who was going to come and live and walk among us, right, the earth. He says this, a bruised reed he will not break. In other words, if you feel broken and you're dealing with something in your life, it isn't like God's going to just make it harder for you. He wants to actually help you. A bruised reed he will not break. A fainting, burning wick he will not quench. Don't you love that? Like if in your spiritual life you, and I don't know, because I'm sure this happens with all the people that come to Fairhaven and all of our different campuses. You may have come this weekend and said, you know what, spiritually, I'm like, the light is almost out. I just don't see it. I'm struggling. I got great news for you. You have a God that, if you're willing to participate, will rally around your life, and he can fan that flame into white hot faith. That's what he does. It's no wonder that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who are weary. And for those of you that have been in church for any length of time, I want you to finish this with me, okay? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And Jesus says this, and I what? will give you rest. That's amazing. That God can give us the kind of rest that we need from loneliness and doubts and shame and unworthiness and rejection. The point is this, we give up on people pretty quickly, right? We play baseball with people all the time. It's three strikes and you're what? You're out. But this is the kind of baseball that Jesus plays. He actually tells the people around him, it's actually 70 times seven. That's a lot. I mean, Jesus introduces a whole new formula for baseball. And so I'm going to ask you, can we put our rally caps on this weekend? Can we put our rally caps on and can we think about what it means to come around some people in our lives? Or maybe for you to make a decision and say, you know what, I am that person and I'm willing to do some things about it. Look at verse 2 with me for just real quickly. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says this, be completely humble and gentle. Now, when we get into Galatians, this series that I'm going to do starting next week, towards the very end of it, there's a whole list that you probably have heard this list, that there's byproducts that if you're willing to walk the fine line, not the, you know, but the fine line between the extremes, the byproduct of that is love, joy. Anybody ever hear this before, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I mean, those are the big dogs, right? And then you get to, you know, one that we think that really got the, like, the short straw in that list. Gentleness. You know what gentleness means if you look at the original language? I love it. Here's what gentleness means. And this is what Paul is getting at, because if you're going to rally around somebody, gentleness means that we're willing to help repair what is broken. That when you rally around somebody, you're willing to help repair what is broken. God wants us to rally around, to put our rally cap on for the people around us. That's the first thing I want to talk about today. Second thing, I want to say this, that Jesus always encourages people to be involved in their reconciliation. Like, Jesus wants you to be involved in your healing. Jesus wants you to be involved in dealing with loneliness, rejection, you know, whatever it might be. He wants you to be involved. Now, make sure you hear this really, really clearly, because there's been a statement that I've heard as I grew up in church, and chances are you probably have heard the statement too, and it's a wrong statement. And the statement goes something like this. God helps those who help themselves. Anybody ever hear that before? Can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. Just raise them up. Okay. That was actually attributed to Benjamin Franklin, and it was popularized actually in the Poor Richard's Almanac in 1757, and that's the statement that was made there. Here's the problem. Superficially, it sounds so biblically, like God helps those who help themselves. Problem is, you can't find that in the Bible. There's no place you can find that. You can look in the Proverbs, you can look in the Psalms, you can look anywhere you want in the Bible, and you cannot find it. Now, you can find it in Greek mythology. If you look at Greek mythology and you look at Aesop, Aesop says that the gods will help you if you help yourself. Do you realize that the Quran in Islam says that? Actually, in the Quran, it says that Allah will help you if, or after is the right word actually, after we change ourselves. Wow, I don't want any part of that. Anybody else? Here's what the Bible says. You can read it in Proverbs 28, you can read it in Isaiah 25, you can read it in Romans 3, there's examples all over the place. Here's what the Bible does say. God helps those who can't help themselves. That's why he's a rallying God. God helps those who can't help themselves. Last week, if you were here, I talked about my knee. I talked about my surgery and how the pain is gone, and yet I still remember what was said in the eighth grade. Well, what I didn't tell you, or I didn't elaborate on, although I think I did it the first weekend I was back after the surgery, is that, you know, the surgery went pretty well. The hard part about surgery on my full knee replacement here on the left side was the physical therapy. In fact, I think I even mentioned it. If you're a physical therapist, we love you, but you are horrible. Right? I mean, that's your job. And the reason is that you have to work through the scar tissue, because when you have trauma in a surgery, scar tissue sets in, and what scar tissue does is it limits what you're able to do. Same thing is true emotionally. When you have emotional scars, it limits what you're able to do emotionally, and you have emotional scar tissue. Now, let me give you an example so that you can just visually see what scar tissue does, okay? Now, most of the guys are not gonna wanna do this because it's gonna feel goofy and all that, but all right, take your hands like this, all right? Let me illustrate to you what scar tissue is. If you take your hands like this and you put them together like this, all right? So just try it. And if you put your hands like this, it's very easy for you to go back and forth, right? So that's what your tissues ought to do. So that if you stretch your muscles, your tissues do this because they're normal and it goes back and forth and they kind of do like this. Scar tissue, so take your hands and do like this, and now point it as hard as you can toward the front or as hard as you can toward the back. I'm gonna do the front. So point it as hard as you can towards the front. Now try to pull your hands apart. See how hard it is? That's what scar tissue does. Scar tissue causes you not to be able to have the kind of motion that you need in your life. And so when you work out the scar tissue, you're working out the fact that you sort of get back to being able to do this again and move back and forth. It's the same thing with our emotional life, that there's scar tissue that we have to work through. And so what we're learning here is that God is encouraging us to be involved in our reconciliation. So let me tell you what God's part is here. Make sure you get this. Because God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who can't help themselves. So let me tell you God's part. God's part is that he gives us the power because he's the ultimate rallying God. He walked away from death. And so God can give you power to get beyond some of the emotional things that you're dealing with in your life. God will give you the encouragement through the Holy Spirit in your life, through the people around you. God will give you the desire, if you're willing, and in fact, I'm gonna give you an opportunity today to make a decision so that you can stand and say, you know what, I desire to work through the scar tissue in my life, and I am gonna do my job with God's help to work through what I'm dealing with right now. Work through the scar tissue. See, God's part is that he will bring healing. That's God's part. You know what your part is, my part? Let me tell you what our part is. My part, your part, is this, that we have to be willing to work through the scar tissue. I had to work for months and months to get the scar tissue in order that I could bend my knee and have lots of range of motion. It's the same thing emotionally. You have to work through the scar tissue of your emotions in order that you can emotionally be back to normal or somewhat normal in your life. And so you have to be willing to work through it. Second thing that you and I need to do is you have to be disciplined. You have to be disciplined at this. And thirdly, you have to get around the right people. How many of you know parents? Help me out here, parents. Maybe some of the best advice we could give our kids is simply this. Don't get in the wrong car. Right, parents? I was talking to a parent this week, actually, about their son struggling, and his advice to his son was simply this. Don't get in the wrong car. It's almost as simple as that. That's pretty good advice, actually. Steal it, right? Don't get in the wrong car. Don't get around the wrong people in your life, because if you do, they're not gonna help you to work through the scar tissue, and they're not gonna help you to be disciplined in your life. That's exactly why Paul says, verses 4 all the way through verse 13, that you're made alive in Jesus, but you're gonna have to work through the scar tissue. You're gonna have to be disciplined. And you're gonna have to get the right people around you. That's why we talk about community all the time. Thirdly, Jesus says that Jesus always motivates confession and profession. Now, most of us probably know about confession because here at Fairhaven, if you're a guest, we talk about it, that we ought to confess, that we ought to talk to God about the things that are wrong. In fact, let me give you the difference between the two. Confession is admitting what's wrong. Profession is admitting what's right. Don't you think we need both? What would it look like for you to say, God, I confess to you that I'm struggling with loneliness, but I profess that you are stronger than my loneliness, that you can walk with me. What would it be like if you said, you know, God, I confess to you that I'm struggling with this area of my life, but I profess to you that I'm going to walk, you know, I'm going to be disciplined in my life. Confession is what's wrong. Profession is what's right. I have a pastor who, I love this quote, and so I got to give him credit. This is what he says. He says, sometimes you need to talk to God about your problems. That's confession. And then he says, but sometimes you need to talk to your problems about God. That's profession. To say God is stronger, to claim his promise, to know that he is a rallying God. And so we need to, according to James chapter 5, verse 16, we need to confess our sins to one another. James, the brother of Jesus, says this, which is really interesting. And when he says that, he says, confess your sins to each other. And what he's not saying is, you should put it on Facebook. He's not saying, put it out there on Instagram. You know, he's not saying that. What he's saying is, if you have trusted people, you ought to be able to confess to them and say, you know, this isn't right in my life. But I want to profess that I'm going to work on this. I'm going to profess that God is strong enough. I'm going to profess that God can bring healing in my life. I'm going to profess that my future, because God knows it, is better than my present if I'm willing to be disciplined in my life. Confession and profession, both are very, very important. And James 5 says, if you confess to each other, listen to this. He doesn't say, you'll be forgiven. Which is what I would have thought he would have said. But this is what he says in James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Wow. That's the rally cap right there. I mean, that's the amazing rally cap. Do you know that Jesus is more committed to your joy than you are? Try to get your head around that one. That he's more committed to your joy than you are. So let's see if we can make some decisions today. I'm going to give you the opportunity. I want you to think this through. Let me tell you the questions first, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity in all of our campuses to respond. Question number one. What do you need to confess and profess today? And would you be willing to go so far as to stand in a few minutes, not now, but in a few minutes, would you be willing to go so far as to stand and say, you know what, there are some things in my life that are not right, but I want to profess that God can walk with me. I want to profess that God is strong enough. I want to profess that I want to walk away from that. So you can confess and profess, and you may just be bold enough that you want to stand today and say, I've been suffering from this, because I want to confess that to God. Or perhaps there's something in your life that you're not, that's just not right. You're not doing something right, or you're not doing something that you should be doing right, and yet today you're willing to make a profession that, you know what, I'm going to stop that in my life. And so you're going to stand. And we're not going to try to guess what it is. We're just going to celebrate the fact that God is a God who rallies around you. So that's question number one. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand in just a second. Question number two. What are you, with God's help, willing to work through? Because it might be that you need to do the work. That God will walk with you. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the encouragement. But you've got to do some things. You've got to put the right people around you. You've got to work through the scar tissue. You've got to be disciplined. And you might want to stand today and say, I'm declaring to God that I'm going to work through this. I'm going to work through this. It's going to be hard. It's not easy. No one says it is, but I'm willing to declare that I'm going to work through this. I'm going to ask you to stand in just a second. Thirdly, who do you need to rally around to put your rally cap on and to say, I'm going to stand and make a commitment to that person? Might be your spouse. Might be a grandson, might be a daughter, might be a sister. I don't know who it is for you, but you know somebody who's struggling. And you know what they need? They need somebody to be gentle with them, to help work through the brokenness. And you're going to put your rally cap on. I want to give you the opportunity to do that in all of our campuses. And I'm going to ask you to do it. But before we do that, I want you to know by visual example that in all of our campuses, this happens every week, by the way, that we have people prepared to pray for you. In fact, if you not only want to stand today, but you want somebody to pray with you, pray over you, to anoint you with oil, it's not something from Aladdin. It is the Holy Spirit symbolized in oil to where we agree together that God is a rallying God. And you may want somebody to pray with you. So let's try it. Would you be willing to stand today if you're a person who says, there's some things I need to confess and I need to profess in my life? Would you just stand right now in all of our campuses? And would you just stand wherever you're at? Doesn't matter. We're just going to just, no applause, just quietly, you're making a declaration to God. I need to confess something and I want to profess something, that this is that important to my life, that I'm not okay, but I'm not going to stay that way. And so I'm going to confess and I'm going to profess. In all of our campuses, just do it right now. And in fact, why don't the prayer team, would you just come forward right now? For those of you that are on the prayer team, just stay standing in all of our campuses. Prayer team, just come down up to the front on all of our campuses. Classics, just come up front here, right here in Centerville. I know we have prayer team. If you'll come right up to the front, just stand right up here in the front. At Springboro, I know we have them there. So Springboro, would you just make your way up to the front? I should have done that first. It's okay. Just make your way up to the front. These people are here every week. They're here every week to pray for you. That somebody would just pray over you. They're elders, they're servers that are here. Northmont, would you come right now? And if you're online, just right up there at the top, you can say if you'll pray for me. And you've made the decision, stay standing. Second question, if you're here today and you're saying, you know what, with God's help, I'll work through this. I'm gonna work through this with God's help. I'm willing to work through the scar tissue. I'm willing to put the right people, would you stand right now wherever you're at? I'm willing to work through this. Just wherever you're at, just stand right now on all of our campuses, just Springboro, Northmont, right here, Centerville. I mean, people standing, that's fine. Just stand wherever you're at because we want to celebrate a rallying God. Just, I'm willing to work through this. It's not going to be easy, but I'm willing to do it. God is the power, and he wants you to be a part of it. Just wherever you're at right now, stand. And then last question. Here's the last question. Ready for this? Would you make a declaration that you're going to rally around someone that you know needs a friend, needs the example that Paul says that you're going to put your rally cap on for them? Would you just stand right now, wherever you're at, just all of you, just stand right now. You've got their name in mind. I know you do. You have their name in mind. Just stand right now. You're going to rally around them. And maybe you're even going to tell them, you know what, I'm praying harder for you. I'm going to walk closer with you. I'm going to see what God will do because I'm going to come around, I'm going to rally around you. And I'm going to ask the campus pastors if they would come right now in all of our campuses because they're going to pray over you. You've made decisions today. These are declarations to God. This is the kind of God he is, where he rallies around us. And so Springboro, Northmont, Jared, Doug, if you'll come, Jim, if you'll come, Classics, and Nathan, if you'll come right now. And I'm going to ask our campus pastors to pray over you. Would you do that? Would you just let them pray over you that God could bring healing? And if you want, even while we're praying, you could slip out right now in all of our campuses and come forward. And our prayer team will pray with you. They'll anoint you with oil if you want that, because that's exactly what the Bible says to do. Do not leave here today without a rally cap on, knowing that God is the ultimate rally cap. Would you just bow with us? And I'm going to ask the campus pastors. Come on over, Nathan.
Father, there is confession happening in this room. God, there is profession that our problems may seem big, but you are so much bigger than those problems. God, I believe that there's healing happening in this room. I believe that your spirit is working in the hearts of people. I believe that chains are falling off. And God, so help us to confess and profess how good of a God you are. God, I pray that you would give us wisdom and encouragement and the strength it takes to work through things that have happened in our life. And God, I pray that you would help us to identify that person or those people that we are going to rally around. God, forgive us for giving up on people so quickly. God, give us the grace that we need to be able to encourage and be there for people, much like you are there for us every single time. God, thank you that you sent your only son, Jesus, to die for us, to give us freedom, that you pursued us, that you're an unstoppable God. And God, because of what your son did on that cross, the work is finished. God, thank you for what you're doing in this room right now. And it's in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.